welcome to another episode of Off the Menu. I'm your host, Vincent Franchini from Tumblr House, here with the locked down Charles Coulomb.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Locked down. The doors have shut. The frontiers are sealed. Nobody gets in or out of Austria or Czechia or Hungary. I couldn't come home if I wanted to.
Truly.
Well, not entirely truly. I would have to self-quarantine for a couple of weeks if I came home.
Oh, but like right now, like you could not come home this weekend like you wanted to.
No. I'd have to, they wouldn't let me go. Not only would I not be able to go to my aunt's funeral because I'd have to go into quarantine. My aunt's funeral has been scaled down hugely by order of the state of Connecticut. Not just my aunt's funeral. It's not like they selected it. Yeah. But the gathering is, there are no gatherings of over 15 people. And the churches will probably close between now and next Saturday. So there may not even be a funeral per se. Which, you know, I'm very annoyed about that, but it all gets eaten up in the bigger thing. I did think about whether or not to come home. But the problem is that I don't know when they'd let me back in. And this was a worry, you know, going on. But, you know, they've got a very good system here. The Austrian authorities are very well equipped to deal with the problem. Especially because they're, how do I put it, keeping it small. In other words, if I, and everybody now knows this, because again, there just aren't that many people here. But if I had symptoms, I wouldn't go rushing off to the doctor. I would call a number, 1450, on my phone. A couple of people in hazmat suits would come over here to the comfort of my own apartment. They'd give me the test. And if I tested positive, I would self-quarantine. I just stay in this room for 2 weeks until I got over it. And they would bring me food and palliatives. You know, but you could get away with that on a small-scale system.
Yeah.
It's much, much harder in a big thing. So Vienna might have a lot of problems. In fact, I went into Vienna today for the corned beef, corned beef for the St. Patrick's Day party we're going to have tomorrow, which has been canceled. So we've got 16 kilos of corned beef sitting in the freezer. But my favorite cafe where I've eaten every day since I've been there is closing down on Monday. So you can't get into Czechia, Hungary, Poland, or Slovakia without either a passport from those countries or a very good reason to go in. So everybody's locking down. And as you know, President Trump has ended flights from England and Ireland. He had made exceptions for Britain. I don't know why, but he did, for passengers. So, the whole world is locking down, ladies and gentlemen. And at least for a little while, everybody has to celebrate Lent. And, you know, whether they want to or not. And I'm afraid if you were fearful of globalism, you don't have to be just at the moment.
Gosh. Yeah.
There's not going to be any mass immigration over the next few weeks. So it's a very strange time.
Yeah.
But notice, from what you can see, nothing's changed since last week.
Yeah, well, what do you mean?
I'm here, you're here.
Oh, yeah.
We're dressed in clothes, you know.
We're each in our, you know, I mean, you're over in your place and I'm at the top of the Tumblr House Tower in lockdown.
Yeah, I know about your lockdown. I've been hearing complaints. Ladies and gentlemen, I probably shouldn't mention this, but I'm going to. The Tumblr House Tower is not just locked down. Tyrone has orders to shoot to kill. Nobody gets in or out. Yeah. And there have been three storage floors, formerly storage floors, that have been turned into, for the duration, into, I'm going to tell them, I don't care. They've been turned into dormitories. So you've got the girls' dorm. And who do you see in there? You see the secretarial pool girls. You see the lunchroom ladies. You see the cleaning ladies. They're all stuck there. And then Tyrone and his guys, maintenance, gardening, the motor pool guys, all them, they're stuck in the boys' dorm. And I thought it was particularly demeaning that you've put up signs saying boys' dorm and girls' dorm. I mean, what's with that?
What's wrong with that?
These are adults.
You're so sensitive, Charles.
You don't call them the boys' dorm or the girls' dorm like they're kids. And what's with the house mothers?
What about them, Charles?
What? You're treating this thing like it's a college dorm in 1950.
Isn't
Gosh,
it,
caught me there, I guess.
though?
I guess is, but do you have married quarters? Do you for the couples or
No.
no?
No.
So let me get this straight. You've got a married couple who work for you. Say she's at the secretarial pool, he's maintenance.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. He has to stay in the boys' dorm. She's got to stay in the girls' dorm. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, we're on lockdown, Charles. Enough said.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really a shame too, because we were having such a nice Lent before this, a nice holy penitential Lent.
That's beautiful.
We were doing the normal fish, fish lunches, of course, and and the normal gripes, I guess you could say, but
You mean as the fish ages through the week, those gripes?
and it's very penitential. See, all so
Especially on Friday.
look at m all or most employers look out financially for their employees, but who, what employer can say that they look out for their spiritual well-being as well?
Not too many, I guess.
Not too many. And I mean, because we're all in this together, I'm having the fish too. But
Oh.
I have a late lunch though, so by the time I go for lunch, it's all out, they run out, and so I have to dip into the reserve. And right now, the only thing we have in reserve is happens to be lobster and caviar. But we're all in this together, right? With the
Oh,
fish,
that's
right?
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That reminds me of my royalty statement somehow.
Well, it's a chain, it's a cost-sharing program, Charles. We're all in this together.
Yes, so I see. We're all in it together. That's beautiful. Well, let me ask you, have there been any complaints about the shoot to kill policy?
No. Well, that's one of the benefits of the policy,
No,
right?
no one complains. No, boss, he didn't say a word. I just heard Tyrone saying that too. By the time I got to him, he was gone. Boss, he didn't complain.
All right,
Oh,
let's move this
gosh.
into the memes of production.
Oh, nationalize the memes of production.
Yes. Okay, let's go. So we've got two, I think, YouTube comments. First one, Louis de Bonald. I have a theory. Is this whole show just a scheme by House Franchini to pass on Charles's knowledge as their own? I don't have a plausible explanation for why they would do this, but I'll find it. On the 13th floor, perhaps?
Oh, we don't talk about the 13th floor, especially during lockdown.
No, we
Because
don't.
the problem is you're locked in with whatever's on the 13th floor.
So, okay, second comment from Shane Etchison. Vincent, where there's a whip, there's a way, Franchini doesn't grasp a wholesome, equitable economic system. Color me shocked. This is
Yeah.
in relation to our discussion on corporatism last week. You know, I mean, it takes me a while to get the, you know, to really digest concepts, new
Yeah,
concepts.
I'll bet it does. I
But
mean, the idea that labor and capital and all the rest of it don't have to be opposed, but can work for each other.
well, you know, I'm warming to the idea, Charles. I mean, I'm warming up to the idea. You know, you just have to think about it a little bit, because I think I can convince this, you know, this independent governing agency that what's good for Tumblr House is good for the nation.
Which nation?
The United States of America, Charles.
Very good. Well, let me ask you a question. Under a corporate state, all right, Tumblr House would be part of a corporation, which would include, now see, you don't have unionized labor, but imagine, what's that?
No, we don't.
No, you don't. But imagine for a second that you would have to get together with all the other publishers, with the unions of publishing house employees, with the retailers, and with the small bookstores and independents and so forth. And you'd all have to form the bookmaking corporations. Not bookmaking like your uncle used to do back home. I mean manufacture
Yeah.
books. I don't mean the other kind of,
Yeah.
you know. I don't mean that.
Okay,
I
yeah,
mean, not
sure.
that your uncle was involved with bookmaking.
I get
I
it,
didn't mean to say
Charles.
that.
Yeah.
I mean, he.
Let's not go there, Charles.
All right. I just want to say that I doubt very highly he was a professional, but he did have some real good odds to offer sometimes. In fact, I remember, was it 1975? He gave me odds on this sort. No?
No. No,
All right.
Charles.
Okay. It was a
Okay, so
great win, though. I mean, if only I'd bet money on the horse you suggested. But all right, never go ahead. You were saying.
no, what you were saying about this bookmaking agency where it's
Well,
combining
this
everybody,
corporation,
this
yeah.
corporation.
Yeah, well, see, that would require outsiders to look at the working conditions in the Tumblr House Tower.
Well, I'm sure whenever they look, the conditions are going to be great.
I'm sure they,
It's
yeah,
going
I'm sure they
to
will. Whenever they look, they'll
be
be great. And everyone will be smiling.
Yeah, it's
I
fine. I
love
mean,
my job. It's really great. Get me out of here, please. And it's wonderful. Give my mom where
But yeah, so
It's
go
all
on.
good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, outside the impenetrable, hermetically sealed Tumblr House complex, I do have some advice for those who might actually be facing, believe it or not, the coronavirus.
Okay.
And this is serious information. So listen up, kids. Now, mind you, it came to me from a fellow who's vaguely connected with the CDC, so I'm passing on the best rumors I know, but it seems to make sense. When you wake up in the morning, take a deep breath and count, well, give it 10 seconds. If, when you let your breath out, you're not coughing, you don't feel any tightness or discomfort, you don't have the virus. Now, if you do have coughing and all that, it doesn't mean you have the virus. You might have a cold. There are all sorts of things that could do that. But if you don't, you don't have the virus at that moment. Secondly, they recommend that you stay very hydrated. Why? Because your mucus, apparently this is a bug that likes dry, doesn't like wet. So drink a lot of liquids, especially
Wait,
warm
that likes
liquids.
dry, doesn't like wet?
Yeah. Apparently, the coronavirus does not like moist. So you want to keep hydrated.
Oh, it doesn't
And
like moist.
no, it doesn't like moist.
Well,
And
it's
if you've
ra it's
got.
been I it's been raining the entire week over here in Southern California.
Well, that may or may not be a good thing. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All I can tell you is what I was told. And especially, you should drink warm liquids if you get the chance, because it doesn't like heat.
Okay.
You keep your membranes moist. It'll catch the thing very possibly. If it gets in your mouth and you're drinking, It'll rush it down to your stomach, where your stomach acids will kill it. That's the theory, anyway. It could just be like our ancestors carrying flowers to hold off the plague from the, you know, the delicious soda. But it's better than nothing. A huge section of the population that are infected will never have, they'll never be symptomatic. Kind of like West Nile virus. But those that do get it, and have severe cases, it's quite difficult. It takes about 2 weeks to recover. And as you know, it's mostly people in their 60s, 70s, and so forth, especially with underlying problems, compromised immune systems, emphysema, and so forth, because it attracks the lungs. Say it goes into the lungs, and the reaction is it rips up the lungs a bit.
Okay.
And so don't panic, don't get excited, don't get upset, but wash your hands constantly and be careful who you're around, you
Yeah.
know?
No, I'm not panicking at all. I mean, to me, from the top of the Tumbler House Tower, I'm looking for businesses to acquire, right?
I'm sure. I'm sure the shipping yards and things like that. But also, I hate to say this, but be careful around the homeless because they have no protection. So, with that, I'll just say that here in Austria, I'm safe. Maybe, and I know that you're hermetically sealed, so that I don't even worry. The shoot to kill order applies to virus even. I think, though, that people have really fallen down on what would cure the virus like that.
Wait, what? People have fallen down?
They've fallen down on not invoking that power which should end the virus like that.
What power?
A power that can change these things, it can change reality just by the stroke of a pen.
What?
The Supreme Court.
Oh, ha ha ha. Yeah, the Supreme Court can change reality with the stroke of
It
a pen.
has. We know it has. It changed what's a human being. It changed marriage. It has powers untold. So someone should get the Supreme Court to issue an injunction against the coronavirus. And that'd be it. It'd be over,
That's
because they have
true.
that kind of power.
That's true. It's like
So we need.
C.S. Lewis's book.
Which one?
I forgot. You always reference it. Is it
Well, that hideous strength.
yeah, that hideous strength, yeah.
Yeah, we need to go hat in hand to the Supreme Court and say, "Most high and powerful justices, please absolve us of the illness that crawls across our lands. Please save the world." And if the justices feel like it, they'll wave their hands and poof, the sickness shall cease.
Okay. Shall we move on with the questions, Charles?
Well, we could do that. I just think that you're not giving my idea due, you know. They approved their ability in magic.
What?
The Supreme Court approved their ability in magic as magicians. I've told you they can change reality at will.
They're as fraudulent as Criswell, in my opinion.
What?
Yeah,
What? The great Criswell, if only he was here with us now, he would save us from this.
oh, wow. You've
If
been had.
Criswell were alive today, he would save us.
Save us from what?
The virus, he'd make it go away. Get
No.
rid of it. Just a wave of the hand and say, "Go, go," and the clouds would turn and leave.
You still
I'm
belong to
sensing.
the cult of Criswell, huh?
It's not a question of a cult. It's just acceptance of who the man was for what he was. I mean,
I agree.
Alexander conquered half the known world. Does admitting that make me a worshiper of Alexander? No.
Right.
So same with Criswell. I just accept him for who he was, as I accept Alexander the Great for who he was. And he was not Colin Farrell, thank God.
Okay, you know what? I'm done talking about Criswell. It was a mistake to bring to invoke his name
Hey,
even.
you open the door on this one. I'm
I
not going to be
did.
blamed.
I did.
Who shall accept punishment?
Okay. All right.
Right. Questions.
Questions. Time for the questions.
I'm ready.
My university got shut down because of COVID-19. Fear my church may refuse communion on the tongue at some point. I don't want to take communion in my hands because I want to show God the most respect. How do you make a spiritual communion?
Okay, I share your pain, quite literally. Here it's still voluntary. And the truth is, as the Archbishop of Portland has pointed out, there's no less or more safety in either way of receiving. If anything, it's probably safer to receive it on the tongue because you don't know where your hands have been or where the priests, you know. But anyway, but on one night, the chaplain here had misunderstood some of the orders and thought that it had to be on the hand. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I stood up and I found myself walking out of the chapel rather than walking into line. And it was a very odd feeling. I couldn't control myself. And by saying that, ladies and gentlemen, I am not judging others by my practice. I'm just saying that personally, I simply couldn't do it. Now, of course, the churches in Austria are going to be locked down Monday alongside everything else. So, one is lucky to have the Blessed Sacrament at all if one can get it. But the spiritual communion, one way or the other, will be an important thing. So, if you look up spiritual communion on Google, you'll find tons of formulae for it. There is also, if you look up Carthusian and Missa Sicca, Sicca, Missa Sicca, dry mass in Latin, Carthusian, Missa Sicca. You'll find what the Carthusians do. They have a, it's like the mass prayers without an actual Eucharist. So you can also give that a shot.
I used to do the spiritual, because they're like booklets for adoration and, where they structure adoration, and they had those prayers for spiritual communion. There are, I think, maybe three or four different popular ones. But I also noticed when I was watching a mass on EWTN that they actually put the spiritual communion on the television. They actually say the prayer during the communion. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, that's true, and of course there are all sorts of masses you can follow online these days. All rites imaginable, every language you can imagine. There's just a lot of them, and a lot of people are going to be stuck having to use them. So go ahead and do it. This is not a good time to be deprived of the Eucharist, but it is what it is, what it is. So I believe me, my heart goes out to you. And to everybody in this time, because it's an unprecedented occasion, but we've been through several of those before. 9/11 comes to mind, and the influenza pandemic of 1918 was far more virulent than this thing. So, but that was a little over 100 years ago, so nobody remembers it. I grew up, however, knowing people who had been through it. And it was pretty bad.
Yeah, we talked about that after last show, and that was news to me. I had not really been taught that in school. And I'm looking at the numbers, and it's like it infected 25% of the world population, and it killed And the world population at that time was like between 1.8 and 1.9 billion. And so it was like several hundred million people. And I think the estimated death was like 10 million to 100 million. It's a wide-ranging number, but
And unlike this thing, which goes after old people, it went after the young and the vigorous. It was pretty bad. And as I believe I mentioned to you, the children at the time, children are very cruel. They're sweet and cute and loving, but they're also cruel. And they had a rhyme that they would recite as they skipped rope into the northeastern United States back during this terrible time. And it went, "I had a little bird. Its name was Enza. I opened the window and in flew Enza."
that's so insensitive.
Well, and they were doing this while people were dying right and left all around them, including their playmates. But children are cruel.
Yeah.
At any rate, if you're, this is an unpleasant time. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll get through it or we'll die. I mean, obviously, most of us aren't going to die. Some of us will. I'm likelier to than you are if I contract it. But I'll be 60 this year. But I don't have any big underlying health conditions, so I might just be much more miserable, or I might not even notice. I mean, there are old people who don't notice when they have it either.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
You just got to leave in God's hands. It's as you
Exactly.
say. It's as you say. I always fall back on this. God's not out to lunch with the story of your life.
No.
It's not going to be some random incident that takes you. It's going to be every moment of your life is watched over by God as if you were the only person in the world.
Exactly. And as a result, if, which God forbid, you come down with this thing, or the people close to you come down with it, or someone you love dies of it, or God forbid you die of it, bear in mind that none of these are random occurrences. We're all taken at the best time for us to go. My Aunt Jenny, who's, this is an odd thing, but I feel much better that she's missing out on all this. Because it would have been very upsetting to her. I mean, just we would have been. And she's gone. So whatever vantage point she has to see it from now, she's not going to go through it. And same for your dad. He's not going to have to deal with it. And we're in God's hands at the end of the day. I mean, you do everything you can in terms of being prudent, but at the end of the day, nobody gets out of here alive, in the words of the immortal Jim Morrison. And so, what?
I just it, very eclectic selection of quotes there. Jim Morrison, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he said, nobody gets out of here alive.
Yeah.
He was right.
Yep.
Yeah. He proved it. He didn't get out of here alive.
No, he o overdosed.
He did. And I remember in 1979, all of his deeply committed cultists were sure that he was going to return, that he wasn't really dead.
Are you serious?
And he was going to come back, Mr. Mojo Rising. The whole thing of the death in Paris was all staged, and he was coming back. It didn't happen, incidentally.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to set your mind at ease.
Yeah, because I was wondering. I was like, did it happen though?
No, sadly.
All right.
Or if it did, there was there was very little in the way of publicity. There was no press conference. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Mr. Jim Morrison, back from the dead.
Gosh.
10 years, tanned, rested, and ready.
Wow. All right. Next question.
Yes.
What is antinomianism? Who believes it?
my dear antinomy. No, antinomianism is the belief, for whatever reason, that you are absolved from observing the law. Now, there were some early Christian heretics who felt this way. They looked at our Lord's words and St. Paul's words, that blessed liberty wherewith Christ hath set us free, and took it to mean that the law doesn't bind them. So they could do whatever they wanted, basically. Who believes antinomianism? Well, anybody who really wants to. It's very convenient. Aleister Crowley was a great modern antinomian and coined the phrase that really fits the belief. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Yeah. So antinomianism is not a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. Not a good thing. And I certainly am not for it.
Okay, next question. Where did the tradition of women taking men's last names start?
Well, I don't really know. It certainly goes back a very, very long way. The more so because so many of the earliest peoples we know about used patronymics. That is to say, you were named after your father directly. You bore his name. So, in other words, well, it's like with the Icelandic people today who don't have last names. So, you would be Vinny Vidosson, and your sister would be Marilyn Vito's daughter. And that, if you remember Sigrid Undset's famous medieval trilogy about Norway, it was Kristin Laverne's daughter. Well, that's Laverne's daughter. And then, of course, with the Celts, Mac, everything is the son of.
Oh,
So
interesting.
McNeil is the son of Neil. McCarthy is the son of Carthy. MacLeod is the son of Loud, and so forth.
Interesting.
Like the Welsh app. So if you meet someone who's a Welsh whose name is Terence Ap Rice, he had a remote ancestor whose name was Rice, Rhys.
Okay,
So it goes, I see, in most, not all, but most societies are patriarchal. And so bearing the father's name makes perfect sense, especially in terms of what the children will inherit, if anything.
Question from Brian. Charles, what qualities should you look for in choosing a spiritual director?
Well, you shouldn't be drunk all the time. No, actually, that might help depending on who you are. No, stop. A spiritual director, well, there are a lot of things you got to look for. One is how deeply grounded is he in the faith? That's the first one. What kind of a sense of humor does he have? That really is very important. You want a spiritual director with a sense of humor. If he doesn't have a sense of humor, you might find him rather difficult. He should also, it helps if he's got a wide range of experience. If before he became a priest, he was a truck driver, a gold miner, or something. I mean, these aren't hard and fast rules, but they're things to bear in mind. Because you need a priest who has some real understanding of what the laity have to live through. But he needs to be well grounded enough in the faith so that he doesn't give you carte blanche to do anything you like. And he should have a sense of humor, both for his own abilities as a man and in dealing with you. Because anybody who's got charge of someone else's soul needs a sense of humor.
This reminds me of Father Ripperger. One of the vi I one of the videos I was listening of him, because I guess a lot of people go to him as a spiritual director.
Yeah.
Well, he has certain requirements. He says that he's only a spiritual director for people who are advanced enough that they don't have an attachment to venial sin.
There you go.
And, you know, it makes sense. The reason makes sense because spiritual direction would basically be him saying, okay, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, you have this attachment? Okay, stop it. And he actually referenced, I remember it because he referenced a very famous and funny skit from of Bob Newhart on Mad TV. I don't know if you've seen it, where he is a psychiatrist. And, you know, this woman comes to him with all these problems. And he has two words for her: stop it. Just stop it. Just. And then she'll say, but my mom, you know, abused me. Oh, no. And he says, nope, we don't go there. We don't go there. Just stop it. It's really funny. It's a hysterical skit. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. Bob Newhart, Stop It, that Father Ripperger recommended. And
Well, and he's right.
he is right. He's 100% right.
And the vast majority of us are still very much attached to venial sin.
Because and I heard it phrased a different way before I've heard Father Ripperger's take. I think from my mom, where when you're a beginner in the spiritual life, your guide are the Ten Commandments. But when you're more advanced, your guide is the Beatitudes. You see, because one is you know, commandments, pain, you know, pain of sin, don't do that. And then the Beatitudes, it's like, okay, well, now that you've, you know, you're abiding by the Ten Commandments, now it's what
It's time to
virtues are you
do
practicing?
this.
Now you
Yeah.
do this. And see, so that's what Father Ripperger, I think, is wants to do. It's like, okay, what are the opportunities here? What should you be doing? So that's all very interesting. Okay, next question. I was looking at the history of the English, and it occurred to me that there seems to be a serious difference between Catholic English and Protestant English culture. Catholic England seems so colorful and artistic, where Protestant England seems so stoic and stern. Why do you think this change is so dramatically different?
Well, it's because Catholic English Catholic culture is so much more colorful and beautiful than English Protestant culture.
Why is that, though, Charles?
Well, you've asked a good question. The answer is, in a word, Protestantism, Calvinism, the Reformation. I mean, it began with smashing statues and stained glass and works of art. Anything, any movement, I don't care what it is, that starts with destroying things of beauty is wrong. I mean, I know because I lived through something very similar in the wake of Vatican II. I saw many churches despoiled and wrecked by the Puritan, I mean, sorry, by the priests. And the priests who did that kind of thing, they didn't do it everywhere, but where they did it, it was evil and it was wrong. And no one's ever apologized, or they should have. No one's ever said bad touch. But I mention it at any rate because that spirit of iconoclasm, which is what that is called, really poisoned the English. Not as badly as it poisoned the Scots, but it poisoned the English, especially because of that variety of Protestantism called Calvinism. Eventually, the Anglicans made their peace with beauty. So much so that they came to call themselves the Church of Beauty as compared to the other Protestant sects, which compared to them is quite true. But that's why.
Okay. Next question is from Theo. Please, could you give your thoughts on the idea of continuing Nephilim bloodlines? Someone like Pharaoh Akhenaten, father of Tutankhamun, certainly doesn't look fully human. Some people say the rhesus negative bloodline indicates Nephilim blood. 90% of the population is rhesus positive, but every US president in the last few decades and every European royal is negative. Some prophecies say the Antichrist will be of this Nephilim descent. So what's that all about? What's Nephilim?
All right, there's a reference in Genesis to the sons of God taking wives, the daughters of men, and their descendants were the Nephilim, the giants, the mighty men of old. That is a passage people have argued over for a long time. Some people say it has reference to aliens. Some people say it has reference to fairies. Some people say, well, you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't put any real credit in the idea that there's a Nephilim bloodline or a lizard bloodline or anything like that. I really don't. And I'm sorry if that upsets people, but I don't. Now, mind you, having green skin and a forked tongue myself, I understand why people would feel this way. I told you we had the DNA done.
Yeah, primarily human, yeah.
See?
I met a guy that long time ago. Gosh, it must have been almost 20 years ago. And he thought, he wondered if demons intermixed with people.
And well,
he was so
demons. Yeah. Demons per se can't. The question in demoniology and various other books of that sort, dealing with what our fathers called elves and fairies, wondered whether or not they could, and what sort of being they were. And then, of course, was the whole question of the succubus and incubus, the idea of demons that visited human beings while they slept for X-rated purposes. And one of the ideas, because there were stories of people being begot upon women by incubi, one of the theories was that, in fact, they could change their gender at will, appearing as a succubus to a man, an incubus to a woman. And so that if any, shall we say, genetic material was exchanged, it didn't come from the demonic agent, but from the last man said agent was with.
Okay.
In other words, said creature would play succubus for a man and then go see a woman.
Yeah.
Armed and ready, as it were. Anyway, that's all legend and so forth. How much truth there is to it, I certainly don't know, if any. And trying to recast the political world we live in those terms.
No?
No.
Ah. Okay, we are going to end the show with two questions from Jason.
Okay, Jason.
I once heard a homily by Father Ripperger discussing temperate use of tobacco and alcohol. In the homily, he said that parents should allow their children to drink small amounts of alcohol as a way of developing temperance. Do you agree with this? Could this be applied to tobacco products as well? Are the medical arguments that claim... Oh, flaps arms. The children will have stunted psychological abilities. Accurate.
No. I have to agree with Father Ripperger. I had small amounts of alcohol growing up. And what it did was, when I was able to drink legally, I didn't go completely hog wild with it the way my contemporaries did. Because I knew what it was. As far as tobacco goes... When I was 12, my father, in exchange for a promise that I would not smoke cigarettes until I was 16, he promised me that at age 16, he would buy me cigars and a pipe and teach me how to use them. And he did on my 16th birthday. I remember very clearly. I went down to the old and now recently gone Tinderbox on Worship Boulevard and picked up the pipe, tobacco, five or six cigars apiece, And then I sat next to him in the backyard for several hours, smoking away. And it was a moment that lives very, very large in my memory. My dad was a big cigar smoker. He smoked a pipe occasionally, but the cigar was his weapon of choice. And I honestly almost never saw him without one.
A cigar?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, he another memory from my childhood of the clouds of cigar smoke on Sunday afternoons and watching either an old Sherlock Holmes movie or creature features or strange tales of science fiction or something, and these clouds of cigar smoke hanging.
I rem yeah.
It was great.
I what's the drinking age in the United Kingdom?
I was 16.
Yeah, I remember when I discovered that first time and I was talking to somebody and I was kind of shocked at that, and they were telling me that it's because of that they know how to treat alcohol consumption. I don't know if that's true or not. What is your so it sounds like you agree with that.
Yeah, well, we live in a world where they're teaching children to have sex at 8. So firstly, cut the comedy, morons.
That's true.
Cut the comedy. I hate to intrude reality onto anything, especially these sorts of stupid conversations. I say stupid because, if ever there was an area where people strain at gnats and swallow camels, this is it. You
Yeah.
know, it For one thing, they've turned what is to some degree a health issue into a moral issue. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, a regime which murders infants in the womb and old people, and now, shall we say, developmentally challenged children in the womb. There are no Down syndrome children in Iceland. Did you know that?
Yes.
They kill them all. Okay. Well, a society like that has no right to open its little trap about smoking and drinking. It needs to shut up. A society that corrupts children, children, at such horribly early ages, 6 and 8, has no right to say anything about anything to anybody. It just needs to shut up and eat its coronavirus. I mean, this is ridiculous. They were having in the LAUSD, the LA Unified School District, they were having children of that age putting condoms on dildos. Now, I'm sorry. I know that they come out of your schools not knowing any history or literature. I know that. So what are you teaching the morons? Oh yeah. This is the scummy setup we've got going. And you know what? The LA school system has to close down. That's great. Now let's just make sure it doesn't reopen. I mean, this is insanity. This is utter insanity. And the corrupt, disgusting scumbags behind it. Let me tell you something. What did our Lord say about those who scandalize his little ones?
What, a millstone around their neck and dropped into the ocean.
Yeah. But wait a minute. That was our Lord, the Good Shepherd, the Speaker of Peace. Well, not for everybody. Some people deserve special treatment.
Whew. Gosh, I didn't know that condom stuff. That's so diabolic. I just cannot believe that. Wow.
Don't take my word for it. Let's go to Google, source of all truth.
No, okay. I don't want to delve into
Well,
too much.
all right, we'll leave it then.
Yeah.
But I.
Gosh.
I cannot abide the regime taking moral stances. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's like the madam of a bordello getting upset because she's sure the girls are smoking after work. Oh, I know what those hussies are doing. I can smell it. They're going out after work and they're, madam, yes? You are aware of just what kind of a business you run. Yeah, so. So let me get this right, madam. It's okay what the girls are doing for you for a living. That's fine. But their smoking is wrong. Absolutely. And I know they're doing it. I am so angry. Well, okay, madam. Thank you. Madam is the personification of the powers that be in our society. So, and again, I hate to be a little Debbie Downer, but this coronavirus of ours couldn't happen to a nicer world civilization.
No, it couldn't. I'm glad we agree.
It's and if it gets people to think about reality, maybe there's a purpose for it.
Okay, final question for the episode. The Angeles Press and Baronius Press 1962 missals both contain examinations of conscience that include the following sins against the Third Commandment. Quote, profane the day by dancing, drinking, gambling, etc. End quote. Is it sinful to go to a bar on a Sunday or a holy day of obligation? Is it a sin to open a bottle of beer or wine on these days? Or is the sin of drunkenness graver when committed on a Sunday? I'm also confused about the dancing part. Thank you, and God bless you all at the colossal and totally honest Tumblr House Tower.
Okay, well, let me say this about that. There's dancing and there's dancing, firstly. There is what the Cour d'Art called lascivious dancing. And there is dancing that is innocent and pleasant. Fortunately, usually has an awful lot of steps, so it keeps you busy. So I think there's a question of what sort of dancing we're talking about. As far as drinking goes, St. Thomas tells us that it is permissible to drink usque ad hilaritatem, to the point of hilarity.
What is that?
Laughter, joking. But when does it become sinful? When you lose control.
Interesting.
When you lose control and you become, see, there are people, and I've known such, who will purposely get drunk so they can sin. And have an excuse to themselves. Oh, well, I was drunk. Well, yeah, but if you know you always do that when you're drunk, why do you keep getting drunk? Well, the truth is, he gets drunk so he can do that. But that's the way people like to play the games with themselves. There's certainly not a sin in drinking beer or wine at any day of the week, unless you've given it up for Lent or Advent. But, if you get blind, stinking drunk, and, well, like our friend in the pre-show, fall asleep with your foot on the brake. He passed out with his foot on the brake after coming home very drunk one night. I'd say that was a sin. But again, he was very fortunate he didn't pass out with his foot on the accelerator, on the gas. Gosh, the gas pedal.
Pedal.
Yeah, the pedal was the word I couldn't think of. I am tired.
It's okay,
Gas
Charles.
pedal. I'm not just tired, I'm also a little anxious. We all are.
To me, I'm gonna play mind reader with the missiles. I think they left it open and just touched on these subjects to let you yourself examine your conscience. Like, they're not gonna say, profane the day by a lot of drinking, a lot of gambling, because then everybody will think that, oh, well, I just did, an acceptable amount or something. I think they're just taking your mind in that area, in general. They're not. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean they're not giving you specifics. They give you questions. I mean, did you drink to excess? You know,
Yeah.
what did you dance the hoochie coochie? Anyway, so yeah, I mean these things are prescriptive. They're not descriptive. So again, don't drink to excess. Don't don't dance lascivious dances. Common sense. Common sense.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
that's it for the questions.
That's it for the questions. No book this episode. It's just too much like hard work, It's just oh
There's
gosh.
so much going on.
There's so much
It's
going on.
difficult living in complete lockdown. But I will tell you this. Two things, ladies and gentlemen. If you're getting a little overwrought about what's going on, and it's easy to. Remember that your fathers and grandfathers survived much worse.
That's true.
You know, we all descend from survivors of the Black Death. So keep that in mind. Keep it in mind also that whatever comes to us, as we were saying earlier, comes from God. There's we're not going to get out of here alive anyway, so take what comes in that light. Say your prayers. You'll probably get through this without too much trouble. If you don't, you'll deal. And if you die, well, if I die, then please God, we'll sing with the saints at some point.
Yeah.
And please God, we'll make it without going through purgatory. Lastly, if you are very much worried about what kind of a terrible hole in things your departure from this planet prematurely would leave, I have to comfort you. An old English music hall song, which luckily for you is short. But here it is. It'll be all the same, just the same, 100 years from now. No use worrying, no use hurrying, no use kicking up a row. For I won't be here, and you won't be here when 100 years have gone. And somebody else will be wheeling the cart, and the world will still go on.
Okay, we'll all be dead. That's so cheery.
Well, it's very true. And one day they'll look back to the roaring 2020s as we look back to the roaring 1920s. Ooh, that's so 21st century. And you know what? My little great niece, who was just born a couple of years ago,
Yeah.
if she lives to be a very old woman, she may see the 22nd century.
And she'll probably idealize this time, like, oh man, it was so great, 2020. I remember society was so civil.
Oh, gee. Ah! I hate to,
Isn't
you know,
that
we
how it
didn't
works,
have
though? That's it. That's how it works, right?
we didn't have headhunters and cannibals in the streets in those days. You know, you didn't have to go out of your house laying down a field of fire. I mean, look at how I am with pistols. I didn't have to be this way until I was 17. I mean, I would crack shot. But you know, when I was a little girl, nobody ever thought that teenage girls would have to be crack shots and able to shoot up everything around them. No, nobody ever thought of that. It was just, you know, you could walk down the street without throwing hand grenades. Was it really like that, great grandma? Yes, my dear. When you wanted to take a drive, you didn't have to hold the driver at gunpoint. Really? That's right.
Wow.
I have visions. No, I tell you, gang. Oh, chillin's how my heart grows weary. I'm coming, Wheezy. This is the big one.
Wow. Okay, so on that note.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're all of us trapped in our little homes now. But remember, 20 years ago, if this had happened, we couldn't do this.
Yeah.
You realize you can stay in touch with your nearest and dearest through the miracle of technology in a way that you simply couldn't have done 20 years ago. So be grateful for small favors. If you've got an aunt or an uncle or anybody who's stuck somewhere, you could be in touch with them. Just so long as both of you have smartphones, you could be staring at each other. Look. So take the good with the bad, ladies and gentlemen. Take the good with the bad. Enjoy whatever good there is to be enjoyed and suffer whatever bad there is to be suffered. So the way you can get through life. And after all, if it's Monday,
it's off the menu.
And the soul you save
may be your own.
God bless you, ladies and gentlemen.